Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from Raleigh, North Carolina, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, certainly one of my favorite guests, and I hope he's one of your favorite guests as well. Dr. Cuddy, thank you so much for being with us. Dr. Cuddy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So now, this evening we were going to talk about something different, but I think we were originally scheduled to talk this afternoon about this. Was this this mental health program that the president has come up with?
Sure. It's a rather interesting thing. And the reason I'm wanted to point that out to your listeners is that the powers that be, the globalists, as we talked about, have a sort of gradualistic approach to things, so that they don't come right at you as some sort of Hitlerian dictator. There's a piecemeal approach. It's sort of like Hillary Clinton when she tried in 1993 to get her health care plan through, which Milton Friedman called socialism, which it was, and was not successful. That didn't mean that was the end of it. They tried to implement various parts of it piecemeal, and so in the past, we've talked, for example, about U.S. Secretary of Education Rod Paige back in October 3rd of last year. He was over at Paris, and he was announcing that we had rejoined UNESCO, and he was just very pleased at that because, among other things, it would give us a chance, all of the members of UNESCO, including the U.S., to help make our children, quote, citizens of the world. And for whatever reason, I'm not sure whether he's pleading ignorance or whatever, but I told State Senator Bachman from up in Minnesota about that, and she fired off a letter to them, and the response he gave was, well, I didn't mean I wanted our children to become citizens of some other country, which is, of course, not her point at all. The concept of world citizenship or citizen of the world has been one of the terms used decade after decade by the power elite in terms of getting us towards a world government. So this must be some sort of ignorance that he has. And then what happened was, separately from that, not too long ago, what you had was an announcement. There was a news item on World Net Daily, and it was titled "Life with Big Brother: Bush to Screen Population for Mental Illness." And I won't read the whole thing, but just the introduction here is talking about this New Freedom Initiative, as it's called.
New Freedom Initiative. I love how they use these words to have exactly the opposite meaning. They should say new fascist or dictatorial or oppressive concept. Oh, we want to screen everybody for their mental health, but they call it New Freedom. So people really don't understand. It's like when they pass the Tax Simplification Act and makes the taxes more difficult to fill out, or the Tax Reduction Act, which increases taxes. The American people really don't understand. They say one thing, but they really mean another, don't they?
Absolutely. And in this case, the New Freedom they picked up as the, it was actually the theme of Woodrow Wilson's administration, and we'll get into that, I guess, after the break.
We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Dennis Cuddy here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Well, our guest, special guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we're going to be talking about this New Freedom Initiative, this wonderful program the federal government has to... Well, it has nothing to do with freedom. It has to do with monitoring you, checking out your mental health, controlling you, forcibly drugging your children, drugging you, if you do not conform in your thought process to what UNESCO and the people who want the New World Order really have in mind. Now, people do not understand that this idea of a New World Order is as old as time, but of course it really was talked about so extensively by Alice Bailey, who was a Satanist, and she did extensive writing during the opening decades of the 20th century. She was a disciple of Madame Blavatsky, and of course Madame Blavatsky had created the Lucifer Publishing House, and well, Lucifer has sort of a bad name, so they changed it to the Lucius Trust. But Alice Bailey wrote about the New World Order and 1,000 Points of Light, and same terms that George Herbert Walker Bush used back about 1990 when he introduced the idea of the New World Order, but he wasn't really bringing it about, because this had been written about by occultists and by these elite who want this world government. In fact, there was a man named H.G. Wells who was very close to the power elite, and he wrote a book called The Open Conspiracy, where he talked about the move towards the New World Government. He wrote a book called The New World Order, and where he talked about this coming world government. He even wrote about a book about the shape of things to come, where he anticipated almost the exact date of the onset of the Second World War, and he wrote that book in 1933. And then, of course, he talked about how there'd be another trial at world government about 1988, having to do with a conference in Basra. So these people have known for a long time what this is all about, and they're almost there. And with that comes the loss of all freedom, a world elite, and, of course, the destruction of America's national sovereignty. Would that be a pretty good summary of what this is about?
Absolutely. And it is, as I was saying, a sort of piecemeal. You have to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And so the reason that concept of make our children all citizens of the world is important, linked with this mental health initiative, the New Freedom Initiative, is because in this particular case, Bush wants to screen the population for mental illness. Now, there's a focus on children, but yet this first statement out of this article, Life with Big Brother, Bush to screen population for mental illness.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and he's simply quoting from an article in WorldNet Daily about the fact that the Bush administration wants to screen everybody in this country for mental illness. They're help us, of course. You must understand it all has to do with their concern that you might be mentally ill and you don't even know it, and you should really be on drugs, and your children should be on drugs. But pick up the story from there, Dr. Cuddy.
Sure. The president's initiative was called the New Freedom Initiative, and the New Freedom was the theme of Woodrow Wilson's administration, and that was largely what his chief advisor, Colonel House, in Philip Drew Administrator, which was the title of a book that House wrote. Initially, it was anonymously, and in there he was describing socialism as dreamed of by Karl Marx, is the way he described it. And one of the cabinet secretaries named Lane, L-A-N-E, at the time of Woodrow Wilson, said that everything that was going on in the Wilson administration brought Philip Drew to fruition, what happened in that book. And so what this New Freedom Initiative today says, this one sentence at the beginning of this article says, President Bush plans to unveil next month, it was written in June, so that means July, a sweeping mental health initiative that recommends screening for every citizen and promotes the use of expensive antidepressants and antipsychotic drugs favored by supporters of the administration. Well, I called up the White House and eventually was able to get the name of the person. He's up in Maryland, who's sort of leading this particular panel. There's a number of these panels. This particular one deals with mental health for this New Freedom Initiative. And he said 2 weeks ago, he says, we'll look around 2 weeks from now at the SAMHSA, that's S-A-M-H-S-A.gov website, and you'll see the agenda come up. Well, 2 weeks passed, I didn't see it, so I called him back. And I said, well, 2 weeks is up. And he said, well, and he started to laugh a little bit. He says, we've had a delay here. There's some problem. In other words, I got the opinion that people had called up and started objecting to this Life with Big Brother scenario. But anyway, he says, well, it could be next tomorrow, could be 2-3 weeks from now, but it'll come up. And he said, look for the title, which is a Transforming Mental Health in America, an Action Agenda. So it's still in the works. It's still coming about. Now, why is all this important? It's important because you have to link the two together. And the linkage comes back about 50 or so years ago. You had a conference in London, and it was called Mental Health and World Citizenship. And to make a long story short, the proponents of world government knew that they had to get people to think in terms of being world citizens, world citizenship, and the vehicle they said they were going to use was mental health. And so that's why you have to put these two things together, Rod Page, UNESCO speech about making our children citizens of the world, and this screening initiative to detect any mental illness, which, as you just said, they said, let's see, the panel found that, quote, despite their prevalence, mental disorders often go undiagnosed, end quote. In other words, you might have a mental disorder you just don't know about, but they're going to give you this screening, and they will tell you about it, and they'll give you some really nice antipsychotic drugs or something that'll shape you up.
Well, of course, the whole idea is they want us to go into this world dictatorship where we will have the same freedoms that they now have in communist China and communist Russia and in communist Cuba. And all of these countries have been subsidized directly or indirectly with your tax money over the last 80 years. But the American people don't understand that the leaders of the elite who rule America created the best enemies money could buy. In fact, Professor Sutton wrote about that in the book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. And we have an interview with Professor Sutton, who used to be at Hoover Institute and doing research on this until he told the truth about how we were financing the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War when he returned to Hoover Institute. Why his name was no longer on the door, his telephone was disconnected, because the last thing they want is for the American people to really understand what's going on. But the great tragedy is, if you don't believe in world government, you must be a chauvinist. You must be somehow have a mental illness. What they're doing with the current No Child Left Behind federal education system is indoctrinating every child in America in hatred of America, hatred of our traditions, hatred of God, and embracing environmentalism and the world government, and pointing out how much better the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is than the outmoded Bill of Rights. After all, the Bill of Rights doesn't guarantee that the government will provide for you from the cradle to the grave and provide for your health and education and your food. Isn't that wonderful that we will be guaranteed that? But that, of course, is what the slaves were guaranteed. That's what the feudal serfs were guaranteed. And that's exactly the direction we're headed. And what I don't understand is why a Christian administration would be pushing policies of this sort, which are definitely aimed, they're carrying on the occult concepts laid out by Alice Bailey back there in the early decades of the 20th century. Why is the current administration doing what they're doing? Don't they understand that a world government means the loss of sovereignty, the loss of freedom, the loss of our constitutional guarantees?
Well, they do and they don't. There are various individuals within the administration who know what's going on. And what you need to remember is don't watch so much or listen so much to what they say, but what they do. And what you find is that the former President Bush, as you said, who had repeated those words that Alice Bailey used, that we need a new world order and points of light connected to service. He was very deferential to the UN. I think it was Fort Dix he wanted to turn into a UN peacekeeping training base up there in New Jersey. The current President Bush wanted to wait around for Lakhdar Brahimi, the UN envoy, to tell him who to turn over sovereignty to in Iraq. And earlier than that, back in September, the current President Bush made a speech about the UN really needs to be involved, and you know, they're really good at writing constitutions, he said, and monitoring elections. Maybe they can do that. And so you have this current deference with this president toward the UN. And the goal since you mentioned H.G. Wells, and we've discussed this before, is to have a synthesis of Western capitalism and Eastern communism into a world socialist government. And now to put those pieces of that puzzle together, some of you listeners may be saying, well, yeah, I understand the mental illness and the screening, and that's bad, and I understand the education and citizens of the world. Yeah, I understand that. But how does this connect? I mean, you know, what's the connection there? I mentioned the Mental Health Congress. The mental health would be how they got world citizenship. But how is it actually in the schools going to happen? And so what you need to do is remember that most of the educators today, under No Child Left Behind or whatever you want to call it, in the schools will proudly tell you that they are, quote, progressive educators. They say that. They admit that. What you have to remember is that the father of progressive education is John Dewey. John Dewey said if you are an independent individualist, you have a form of, quote, insanity. Remember that. Screening for mental illness. If you're an independent individualist, you have a form of insanity, he said. So this is a linkage between education and mental health. And what you need to remember is that Dewey said if you're a dependent person, dependent on the society, the group, then you're a normal person. Because Dewey is pushing socialism. He says in his book, Individualism Old and New, that socialism is what we're in for. You may call it liberalism, he said, but it's really socialism. And he was the head of what was called the Intercollegiate Socialist Society, later named the League for Industrial Democracy. And they pretty well have gotten control of most of the schools through Columbia Teachers College and the University of Chicago. And so they're in control of our educational systems, and that's why you have things like outcome-based education and school-to-work, which initially don't seem related, but they really are. Outcome-based education is to shape the students' values, not just academic learning, but their values. And you don't have a grade like if you get 8 questions out of 10 right, you get an 80. What you have is a constant, what they call remediation, until you reach the final goal. And there's traditional, transitional, and transformational outcome-based education. And the guru of that is William Spady, and transformational education deals with values. That's how mental health screening will come into this. Initially, I think they'll not try it by force. What they'll say is that the youngster has to get his vaccines before he's allowed into public schools. And so while little Johnny's getting his vaccine, they'll just give him this little mental health screening to see if he has any problem with his values, you know, like maybe he's a narrow-minded religious absolutist or something.
And maybe he believes in God, and of course, right. After all, that's definitely a sign that there's something seriously wrong with you. And then the trouble is that they're giving our children tests, and there's a national test that is given, and it's a federal crime for anybody to tell anyone what's on that test. Why? Because it doesn't test to see whether you can read and write. It tests your attitudes and values and beliefs, and of course they reflect your parents' attitudes, values, and beliefs, and that becomes a part of a permanent dossier that is being kept on every citizen in America. And if you don't believe that they're collecting dossiers on you, as they do with any fascist country, you really need to get the book Fixing Intelligence by General William Odom, a former head of the NSA, the most secret of all of our secret organizations. And in the book published last year, he, of course, can't tell you what's going on because he signed all these secrecy oaths, but he can ask questions. Should the Army or the Defense Department be collecting dossiers on American citizens? Should the CIA be carrying out assassinations? Should the CIA have journalists planted in the media? And that's how they control our ladies, our attitudes, generally for the adults, because they control what we read in the newspapers. Oh, you think you're reading the right and the left wing? You read the right wing in the Wall Street Journal and the left wing in the New York Times and the Washington Post. You think you're reading the right wing in the Reader's Digest and of course, the National Review and the American Spectator? Ladies and gentlemen, they're all controlled by people who belong to the Council on Foreign Relations. If you don't believe that, you need to get that wonderful article we have out of the, of all places, the Washington Post, written by Richard Harwood, who talks about the ruling class journalists. And he said that these are the closest thing we have to a ruling elite. And who are they? The Council on Foreign Relations, the people who control surround George Bush today. And, of course, John Kerry just happens, just by chance, to be a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future, are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. And Dr. Cuddy has taught at the university level. He was in the Department of Education of the Reagan administration. He's one of the finest researchers we have, and we carry so many of his books. We carry, of course, his book, The Secret Records Revealed, and now is the dawning of the New Age, New World Order. We have back in stock now copies of his book on September 11th, Prior Knowledge. We have his book, Cover Up, going into the background of the fact that the government knew exactly what was going to happen that morning. In fact, there were children in New York City who were actually taking their cameras to school on the morning of September 11th so they could take pictures of the attack on the World Trade Center. But gee, our FBI had no idea what was going to happen. And amazing stories that you're never going to hear from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. We carry Dr. Scuddy's book, The Road to Socialism, his book on NEA. We still have some copies of his book on conspiracy, which we think is a fabulous little book, and we'll be talking about that on our program tonight. And then, of course, is a timeline for the New World Order, dealing with education. These and many other things are available for Radio Liberty, and you'll certainly want to get a copy of our catalog, because we list these products that Dr. Cuddy has written, and we recommend them to you. I think it's so vitally important that you have access to the information we're talking about. So, again, Dr. Dennis Cuddy's books are available, and if you'd like to get a copy of our catalog, which lists them, 1-800-544-8927. I think one of the hardest things for the average individual to believe is that there really are wicked people working within the leadership of both parties, usually very wealthy, or certainly people who have been promoted to positions of great power, who don't believe in America. They have a different dream. They believe in a world government under a ruling elite, and these ideas go back really to Plato, writing about this in his Republic 2,350 years ago, with this idea of a ruling elite that would rule mankind. And you can just see this all coming down the line today. But behind Plato and behind Aristotle and behind all of those Greek philosophers were certain dark spiritual forces, and those same dark spiritual forces are working behind the people, whether they be in the Council on Foreign Relations, or Theosophy, or the Club of Rome, or the Council on or the Bilderbergers, or even the Communist Party, the Masons. They all want this one world government under the control of a new ruling elite. And this thing is certainly coming to pass, isn't it, Dr. Cutting?
Well, yes, and it's multifaceted and multi-faced. I'll pick up on what you just said and then link it up to what I was saying earlier. The elite has the idea that it's really to them, the sort of noblesse oblige idea to manage the peons, the serfs, you and me and everybody else for our own good. It's something of an ego thing, a power and a control mechanism. And they feel that we're sort of like cattle or sheep, or I guess sheep would be better, to be managed, just like any breeding stock. And so what you have, whether it's Plato or more recently the elite, your listeners may have seen just recently Francis Crick, who had won the, along with James Watson, won the Nobel Prize, I believe, for his discovery of the double helix structure of DNA, just recently died. Watson was chancellor of Cold Spring Harbor Laboratories, which I'll get to in a minute. But anyway, Francis Crick just died. They've had his name all over the news. What many of your listeners may not know, I'll just read, there's many of these, and I'll just read one quote from Francis Crick. He says, "My approach, this approach may run against Christian ethics, but I do not see why people should have a right to have children. We might be able to achieve remarkable results after 20 or 30 years by limiting reproduction to genetically superior couples," end quote. And this is, you know, we've already had Hitler, right? But the point is, before Hitler, you had this sort of elitist mindset in the eugenic society of the country. A lot of it was research coming out of Cold Spring Harbor, which was set up around 1904, a lot of funding by Carnegie and the Harrimans, Mrs. E.H. Harriman. The Harrimans were into Skull and Bones, Abel Harriman, his brothers. And so part of this attitude was they needed to manage people.
But really, it wasn't a lot of this carried over into the Nazi movement.
Yes.
I remember Rudolf Hess said, Nazism is simply applied science. And many of the ideas that the Nazis introduced had originated here in the United States, at Cold Harbor, at, within the American Eugenic Society, within Margaret Sanger. But the American people mustn't know that we were the inspiration for the Nazi experiments. They just carried out the policies of cleaning the gene pool up, getting rid of the gypsies, the infirm, the Nazis, and only the Christians, too. There are about 12 million Christians who were executed. Isn't that a strange? We never talk about the 12 million Christians who died in the Nazi concentration camps. That's told in a book called Warrant for Genocide by Professor Norman Cohn, but you're not going to hear that talked about on radio. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, why Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, that we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Isn't it amazing we never hear about the 12 million people who died in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany, the majority of whom were Christians? We hear about the 6 million Jews, but we never hear about the 12 million others. Isn't it amazing we never hear about the 60 million people who died in the Soviet Gulag, or the 60 to 80 million people who died in the Chinese Gulag, when, of course, the communists were consolidating their control after the American State Department, under the control of the Council on Foreign Relations, put an arms embargo on the Chinese Nationalist Army so they couldn't get weapons anywhere in the world, which resulted in the communist takeover of communist China. You know, people really don't understand history, and it's certainly not taught in our universities today, but the records are all there. We have them if anybody wants to look for them. And, of course, I think that it's so important that people understand that there is an elite, whether they be in Russia or in China or here in the United States, who believe in a world government, and of course, they look down on those of us who believe in individual freedom as the peons, as the common people who voted for Barry Goldwater.
That's right, and it's been a real history. As I said, Dewey and the rest of them, and H.G. Wells, moving us towards socialism. They're really very ruthless. I remember H.G. Wells. This was long before the Nazis. He had a book called Anticipations in 1901. that said they would have a cause worth killing for, is the way he put it. And then a few years later, George Bernard Shaw says, don't feed the poor, we need to get rid of them. And if you're useful, you'll be fed and housed and clothed, but then when you're no longer useful, you'll be killed or executed in a, quote, kindly manner, he put it. And then Bertrand Russell, another Fabian socialist a few years after that, was talking about how we may need bacteriological warfare and a black death. What you need to remember is when Russell was saying that around 1950-ish, 53, the term bacteriological warfare really wasn't widely known, but it comes from these research scientists. As I said, some of them at Cold Spring Harbor, you had the Harrimans funding this, and William Davenport was an early director of that, and Mrs. Harriman had him, Davenport, and the rest of these people there, with a tremendous amount of money, put out the word that people with pellagra, for example, should eat a lot of corn. Well, corn doesn't have any niacin, and research was available at that time showing that niacin was very good at preventing pellagra, and that went on for like 20-some years or so, and millions of people suffered because of this deliberate misinformation.
Well, it's just like they're concealing the information about how NutraSweet actually makes you fatter and gives you diabetes and gives you brain tumors and convulsions, and fluoride dumbs you down and makes you less fertile and attacks
right.
your bones. And the mercury, of course, is poisoning our children, and the vaccines. All of this is suppressed. These are really wicked and evil people.
And so, picking up on that, the reason is, as I said, a population type of control. It's sort of revealed in some private letters they have. For example, when Harold Lasky, a big, influential academic in England, Fabian socialist, was writing to Oliver Wendell Holmes, one of our Supreme Court justices, he told Holmes, he says, I think you ought to sterilize all the unfit over there, and by all I mean including the fundamentalists. So they included fundamentalist religious Christians and Jews, and like you said, gypsies and others. And this was way before Hitler's Holocaust against the Jews. So Christians were a target early on. And so when you mentioned about the vaccines, that ties in with what I was saying earlier about this mental health screening, because between 1999 and today, you had a tremendous increase in the number of immunizations with youngsters, toddlers, and even 5% increase just last year in 2003. Well, now, what are they screening for, these toddlers? Well, one of the things that we've discussed is this fragile X syndrome, which has a little bit to do, it's very similar with like attention deficit disorder and autism. You have a hyperactivity in some cases and trouble with concentration, whatever. But the point is, they say, the science admits, that it's not curable. Now, let's see, if it's not curable and you're screening for this thing, why would you be doing that? Well, one reason might be to further the program that they want of licensing parents to have children. This isn't some weird idea. Eddie Bernice Johnson, who has been a U.S. House of Representatives member from Texas 30 years ago, was saying we need to license parents in order that they might have children or not have them. Jack Westman has authored several books on this subject, whether you ought to be able to have children or not. And so there's this movement towards these screening processes, whether it's in terms of the youngster's values that they want to reshape, whether it's to say, well, you as a parent, maybe you shouldn't have children. They may not do it, like I said, in a sort of Hitlerian dictatorial attitude at first, but what they might do, like I said, with children, is say, well, while you're here for your vaccine, your immunization, we'll give you this mental health screening. With older people, because remember, under the Bush proposal, this screening is quote, for every citizen, what they may do is say something like, well, we have a real problem with rising insurance rates, and you do want to, quote, volunteer for this screening, don't you, so your insurance rates won't go up. And so it may be a sort of coercive mechanism that they're using initially, but it's a multi-phased, pronged approach through mental illness, towards world citizenship, towards controlling the population, towards licensing parents eventually. And it's leading us, as I said, towards a new world order. And what you have is that's just one approach, the education mental illness approach. There are other approaches as well. They'll hit us through economics, through the tax, through taxing power. For example, Hillary Clinton, just mentioned, a big supporter of Senator Kerry, This is a quote. Now, you won't hear this often or much in the major news media, but this is what she just said at a recent fundraiser out at, in California on behalf of Senator Barbara Boxer. Hillary said, we're saying that for America to get back on track, we're probably going to cut that short and not give it to you. We're going to take, this is a tax cut, we're going to take things away from you on behalf of the common good, end quote. Well, that's typical socialism. That's what they do.
Of course, we're going to take them away from you and I, not from the elite like
right.
Hillary, because she's always going to be paid off. I mean, she got paid a $8 billion bonus for her book. Bill Clinton got paid, I think, $10 million. I think they sold 150,000 copies of that so far, and then maybe they'll make it up overseas, but that book is not selling very well. And yet they gave it, this was a payoff. Anybody thinks that he got $10 million, he got more than the Pope got for his biography.
That's right. And on that front, what they'll do is take the money away from you at the tax level. They'll roll back the tax cuts for the, quote, common good if they're elected. At the same time, jobs are going overseas. I just looked at these recent statistics here, and while you had a net increase of 488,000 jobs in domestic services, that's the service industries, created since the 2001, the first year of the Bush administration, it was offset by 2.7 million lost manufacturing jobs. So there's still been a net loss of jobs in this country. And so with that sort of coercion hanging over your head, that if you don't go along with this, if you don't go along with this new economic initiative, if you resist NAFTA, resist GATT, don't take lower wages, whatever it is, your jobs will be lost as well. Or even if you do have a job, it'll maybe at a lower salary, or perhaps both parents will have to enter the workforce. That throws those youngsters that would be at home with a mother, let's say, now go into government daycare centers where their values can be shaped at this early age, which is what they want.
Here in California, we have something called, we see it on television all the time, success by six. We've got to get your child very early so they're going to be successful. No, they want to get them into the daycare centers so they can begin molding their minds. Get them away from the parents. They don't want them believing in those old-fashioned values of God and family and country. They're going to get their minds, and by the time they're 6 years old, they're going to be introduced to homosexuality and all sorts of sexual aberrations. Why would we bring that up in kindergarten? Because we're trying to control their minds and really destroy their moral foundation.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And so what you have also in terms of the elite, you have to be credentialed, you have to be accepted. So just like Bill Clinton in 1992 went to the Bilderberg Conference and after that received the imprimatur of the elite of the world.
And he became the president that year.
Right. That's right. Same thing this year. John Edwards goes over there, and according to the New York Times piece not too long ago, that was the clincher. John Kerry had been leaning towards another candidate to be his vice presidential pick, Dick Gephardt. But when he got a report back, Kerry got a report back from a friend of his who also attended the Bilderberg meeting, and the friend told him how well Edwards had done against the Republican Ralph Reed, who was also at the Bilderberg meeting.
Ralph Reed leads the Christian conservative a contingent into the New World Order.
That's right. That's exactly what he's there for. And so when they get the approval of these people, then they come back, and then they're anointed and can be a part of this. Now, I've mentioned Skull and Bones previously because George Bush, current president, and Senator Kerry are both members of Skull and Bones. So however you vote, you're going to wind up with a Skull and Bones president, sort of like William Whitney, member of Skull and Bones of 100 years or so ago, developed a strategy to have the elite contribute heavily to both political parties, and then they would alternate power so that the stupid public thought they had a choice. As simultaneously, though, there's the Cecil Rhodes angle to it, and his secret society, the society of the elect to take over the world. And somebody say, well, you said Skull and Bones, that's what you get. What you got to remember is they work together. So at the substratum level, you had, let's say, a Wesley Clark as part of the campaign. He was a Rhodes Scholar. And you say, well, okay, so what? You know, he's out of it. Well, John Edwards is in there, and his chief domestic advisor, Edwards' chief domestic advisor, is Bruce Reed, who was a high-level domestic policy advisor to Bill Clinton during his presidency, and Reed is a Rhodes Scholar, too. So you have to sort of sniff below the surface to find out where these people are and the network that's flourishing there.
And I think it's so important people understand that the reason the Rhodes Scholarships were set up was to pursue the Cecil Rhodes plan for a new world order under a ruling elite. And he did this through a secret society, and if you doubt that, we have a copy of his Confession of Faith he wrote in 1875, and you won't find this any other place, but we offer that. We'll send you a free copy if you just give us a call and ask for it, 1-800-544-8900. It's the Confession of Faith written by Cecil Rhodes. And they don't want you to know that he was planning on creating a secret society, because you're not supposed to believe in secret societies, because that would suggest they're conspiracies. And, of course, that, of course, immediately turns anybody off, anybody who talks about secret societies. They must be another, or maybe they've read history, or maybe they've done research, or maybe somebody has been able to control the mind and the emotions and the response of the average American.
That's right. And most of the people who you talk about, or, you know, we meet on this issue, will say, oh, that's nonsense, that's conspiracy hokum. But surely if there was, you know, something to this, the press would have dug into this and, you know, they would have revealed it to us.
Well, even Hillary Clinton talked about the vast right-wing conspiracy. And, of course, is there anybody in the listening audience who doesn't believe that there was a conspiracy on the morning of September 11th, 2001, when 19 Arabs, 19 Muslims crashed their planes? This was a conspiracy, wasn't it? Of course, the history is full of conspiracies. There was a conspiracy to murder Abraham Lincoln. They don't tell us, but they arrested and hung about four or five people as a result of that conspiracy. Isn't it amazing we never teach that in school today?
That's right. Referring to the government and the press on 9/11, since you mentioned it, the 9/11 Commission just comes out with its report. I'm just going to read a couple of sentences here from the Vice Chairman and Chairman Keene, former Governor of New Jersey. At the end of the report, he's talking about no specific blame. You know, it's the system that is fault. It's no, you know, Bill Clinton, George Bush, not specifically accountable here. He said, this is a quote by King, they, like the rest of us, did not understand the gravity of the threat. The intelligence information did not reach the uppermost echelons of government. They did not have the information they needed to make the decisions they needed to make. And I'm sitting here looking at this stuff, and I say, what? You have this presidential daily brief saying Bin Laden determined to attack inside the U.S. How much more do you want? And so what I said about the press, surely if there was a conspiracy, surely the press would be into this. So I'd written up, and we've talked about this, how the attacks of 9/11 could have been easily prevented. I won't go into it again, but this is the point I want to make, since you mentioned Richard Harwood in the Post. I called up the Post. I got a list of all of their editorial writers. I called each one of them. Now, some I got, some I didn't, but I left a voicemail message. I called up Ann Applebaum, Larry Essim, Donna Britt, Richard Cohen, Jackson Deal, E.J. Dion, now he's a Rhodes Scholar, Mark Fisher, and some others. And I left a voicemail message, and I said, would you be interested in how 9/11 could have easily been prevented? None of them responded to that call. Mark Fisher said, well, gee, you know, that sounds sort of interesting. I'll go talk over with some of our reporters, our national reporters who handle that. Called him up a few days later, and he said, they're not interested. Now, think about that. The Washington Post is not interested in how the attacks could have easily been prevented. Now, something smells about that. That's not the Woodward and Bernstein, you know, let's dig deep, let's get deep throat, let's go after Nixon and so on. And it's the same type of thing that I ran into, we discussed in the past with Evan Thomas when I told him about the, you know, you've got the story, Evan, about these top Pentagon officials suddenly canceled their travel plans, and he said, oh, Congress has investigated that. I guess if there was something to it, you know, they would have said something.
Now, for our listeners, there were a number of people working in the Defense Department, high government officials, who were scheduled to fly on the 11th of September, who canceled their flights on the 10th of September. This was reported in Newsweek magazine on both the 13th of September and the 24th of September.
Right.
But, of course, Evan Thomas, who was the editor-in-chief, didn't want to talk about that. And when Dennis tried to find out what the source of that was, why, he said, well, Congress is investigating it. I don't want to talk about conspiracy. And finally, when pushed, I don't want to talk about that subject. Well, of course he doesn't want to talk about the subject, because if he told the truth, he wouldn't be the editor-in-chief of Newsweek magazine. Dennis, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having me.
Good night. Bye-bye. And we'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Dennis Cuddy here at Radio Liberty. Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I just want to mention. We, of course, have a four-tape set on this Kennedy assassination. We have another four-tape set called Update, JFK Assassination Update. And here you'll actually hear an interview with Madeline Duncan Brown. And we do carry her book. She was Lyndon Johnson's mistress for 20 years. And she tells about the meeting that they had the night before the assassination, where all the plans were made, and Lyndon was there. And, of course, J. Edgar Hoover was there, and Richard Nixon. It's a fascinating analysis of what happened, and this has been verified by a number of people. It was all planned ahead of time, and then they had a commission. They had the Warren Commission to investigate, and they just gave you the straight government line. Oh, there was just no conspiracy at all, and then they had another investigation. And finally, they had the House Select Committee. And the House Select Committee looked into this whole story again some years later. And they came up with a conclusion that there were not three shots fired, there were four shots, there was a conspiracy, and then they immediately disbanded the commission. Now, why would they do that? Why, the congressmen were afraid for their lives. If they looked into this, why, they would probably meet the same sort of fate that Hale Boggs, who was on the original Warren Commission, who didn't believe in the conclusions of the Warren Commission, and he died mysteriously after a plane flight. In fact, he died with them. The father of Nick Begich, who we've had as a frequent guest here. And the FBI knew where they were. They just didn't send out any search parties to get them. Isn't that strange? I wonder why they didn't. That's why, of course, could that have anything to do with why the House Select Committee that investigated the Kennedy assassination didn't look into it any further? Call 1-800-544-8927 and get our tape set or get our Kennedy assassination special. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there across America, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, you can call us at 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-448-927. 888-344-8927 if you'd like to get a free copy of our July newsletter, which will be out the middle of next week. It tells what really happened on the morning of September 11th, not what you're going to read in the controlled media or in this cover-up of report that's now available at your local bookstore, but what really happened, because we've read the staff reports, and the staff reports are not what they're going to quote, but they have all sorts of fascinating information in them, and you'll want to get our July newsletter because it will give you information you'll not read anywhere else. Again, a free copy of the newsletter if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Real many of you will want to get Dr. Cuddy's books, Secret Records Revealed, Now is the Dawning of the New Age, New World Order, September 11th, Prior Knowledge, Cover-Up, NEA, Power Grab, the Road to Socialism, and so many more books, the timeline of the New World Order and Education. We carry these books because we want you to get educated, and Dr. Cuddy is a tremendous source of information and will help you better to understand that there has been, since the beginning of recorded time, a move to bring about a New World Order with a one world ruler, and that, of course, is the Antichrist. And this is coming down the track like a freight train, and you better understand that it's going to happen. And we have a moral obligation to be involved. I don't think God wants to see terrible suffering. I don't think he wants to see the Third World War. I don't think he wants to see America destroyed. But he's letting us do what we should do. He let the children of Israel. He didn't force them to be bad. They were bad on their own. They turned against him on their own, just as we've turned against God in this country. And the Christian leaders have allowed it to happen. They don't want to speak out on anything. Oh, no, we just have to obey the court when it takes the Ten Commandments out of school. After all, it's the law of the land. And God says to go right along with judges who say it's all right to kill unborn children. And incidentally, if any of you haven't read the partial birth abortion bill, you really ought to read it. We do have copies of that. It was the worst disaster you ever saw. We lost everything when they got the partial birth abortion bill through, because they changed the definition of partial birth abortion. And what they did is the Senate and the House accepted Roe versus Wade as the law of the land. Before that, it was only the Supreme Court. But now our elected leaders have accepted Roe versus Wade as the law of the land. And I bet nobody's told you that, have they? Oh, we just made this, we Christians, a great victory, and it was signed by the president, and we've stopped partial birth abortion. If you believe that, why? You probably believe this new committee report that's come out from the government on what happened on 9/11. If you'd like a free copy of the legislation to understand that, of course, now you have to completely deliver the head before it becomes a partial birth abortion. All you have to do is have the head crowning. You suck out the brains, and then you can deliver a dead child, and that's perfectly acceptable. That's all right with this new legislation that we had passed, where we accepted Roe versus Wade as the law of the land. So we gave away the baby with the bathwater, and nobody's telling the American people what the legislation really says. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got a real problem. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of mankind, and we're losing because nobody's explaining to you what's happening. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle 5 days a week and on the weekends as well. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.